Hi there. Do you know what your anxiety profile is? Me, I was a besieged panicker. We often say that the first step to reversing anxiety is to understand it. And that's why we've created a tool to help you discover your anxiety profile. And it's totally free. In about 90 seconds, you'll receive your customized anxiety profile. And it will answer so many questions you've probably been struggling with, including, am I going crazy? And why me? So if you haven't yet, pause this episode and head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile or click the link in the show notes. I promise you'll get a lot more out of this and every episode once you know your anxiety profile. And now, on to the show.
The complex relationship between anxiety and anger. Let's go.
Welcome to the Life Free of Anxiety podcast, where each week we'll bring you another discussion to help you on your way to overcoming your fears. I'm Erica, and together with Dr. Charles Barr, a licensed clinical psychologist specializing in anxiety, we'll be your guides on this journey. To find a list of helpful free resources we offer, head to lifefreeofanxiety.com. Because you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are on your way to living a life free of anxiety.
Well, I hope I grabbed your attention there. The complex relationship between anger and anxiety. Of course, all our emotions are complex. That's why we have Dr. Barr to break it all down for us. He's joining us today. I am Erica, and we are kicking off the Change program today. Thank you so much for everybody who signed up and is taking a leap of faith. You won't regret it. We're excited to have you. If you did not sign up, that's okay. You can use this time to research our program, see if it's a good fit for you. We're going to be doing another group pretty soon here. We'll announce the date. You can get a free ebook at freefromfearsbook.com, and you'll get a really good understanding of what the program is and if it's right for you there. You can also receive a hard copy, or we have starter toolkits. So you can find actually all of that at change.com. That's change with two A's. And if you're new to the podcast, I am just explaining a 16-week anxiety treatment program that we talk about here on the show. And it's also something that we are all doing together right now. Some of us have signed up to be in a beta launch group where we're walking through the 16-week program together. My former therapist, who is now my co-host on the show, Dr. Barr, recommended it to me when I was having panic attacks and severe claustrophobia with elevators and things that made me feel out of control. This is the same program Dr. Barr also used as a psychologist when he had a bad experience with an earthquake that offset a ton of anxiety for him. So he used this, I used this, and now we've taken it over. We've made it digital so it can be done from anywhere. And if you want to sign up for our next group, just keep listening to the podcast for more updates on that. All right, let's get to this incredible episode. We think this is a really important topic, the connection between anger and anxiety, because it is there. So let's get to it. All right, we are back, Dr. Barr, with me, Erica, and we are breaking down this week common reasons anxious people are angry. I don't think you always put that together. I didn't. Did you? Do you, Dr. Barr? But yeah. Angry people? Well, you do. You're a therapist. You know about this stuff.
Well, but actually, anxious people have trouble with anger, you know, so there are a lot of anxious people that don't consider themselves angry because they're not in touch with the anger, which is why anger is an important topic for us to cover.
Yeah, I know by the time I came to you, I was spending a lot of time, I would guess you could say, stewing, analyzing, spending a lot, a good portion of my day doing the dishes, thinking about something upsetting that made me angry and that felt out of control. That was, I don't know if I knew that though, that I was doing. I think I kind of knew I was sick of being angry, but I didn't think there was anything I could do about it. And I really didn't know if it was very connected to my anxiety, that's for sure.
Well, and I think most people don't feel like it's connected with their anxiety at all.
Mm-hmm. But it is.
That's been my experience.
Yeah.
But it is very much connected.
Yeah.
Because we are total beings. And if we're upset at one level and we're angry because of something that happened here, it may influence how we're feeling over on the other hand.
So, right. Yeah, I know when I had come to you, one of the things, and I'm going to break down the common reasons anxious people are angry right now. And one is that you feel let down or disappointed by therapists who couldn't cure your anxiety. And that was where I was at. I had sent an email that I came across the other day. I was going to read it, but I'm not going to anymore. I just want to tell you guys, I had sent an email to a therapist I had seen for a couple years. And it was an email where I was just saying, like, look, it's just not working. I'm just not getting better. And I thank you for all your help. You've given me some really wonderful tips, but I don't know what to do at this point. And she kind of responded like, yeah, certain things work for certain people. And I don't think I liked that response that much. I mean, I didn't say it, but it was like, oh, so certain things work for those certain lucky people. Those certain curable people right. out there can get help. And I know she didn't mean it like that, but that's how it felt at the time. She's a really good therapist. And she's probably, now I see she's right. She does help certain people in certain ways. She's, you know, specializes in EMDR, and she helps a lot of people that way. But that wasn't how she was going to help me. So I was basically wasting a lot of time because it wasn't the right thing for me. Like. Yeah. And it wasn't the right, yes. She didn't have, you know, the change program, basically. I mean, I can't say it any other way. That's what happened. I ended up coming to you very skeptical and got the change program. That's what helped. But for a long time, I was very angry at a couple of people that hadn't been able to help me. And I knew it wasn't rational. And that probably made me more angry, you know? And so,
yes,
that was a big thing for me for a while. I know that just the anger that somebody couldn't help. And then that's the second thing, is you feel like you don't have the right to anger, which makes you angrier. So this is a number two reason, common reason anxious people are angry.
Isn't that funny? It's like the anger builds on the anger. It's like I feel angry and I'm frustrated that I'm angry and I don't know what to do with it. And that makes me even angrier because I feel like I don't have a right to be angry, but I'm angry.
Right. Yeah. And it's just when your body's not calm, there's no way out of that. You know, it just is what it is.
Yes.
I mean, you can try little things, but when your body's not calm, whoo, it's running itself on overtime and you're just there for the ride, right? I mean, it's really tough to get out of those angry thoughts and patterns, and it's tough. But another thing I think more long term is, Dr. Barr, you probably see this, people who are angry at caregivers or parents who were neglectful or abusive or just didn't live up to their expectations. I mean, isn't that all psychology is what happened in childhood anyway?
Well, that's a big part of it, isn't it?
I'm just kidding, yeah.
Is dealing with those kinds of early injuries and early disappointments and things like that. And,
yeah.
You know, for the most part, I would say that parents do the best job they can do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some parents that don't do a very good job, period.
Yeah.
And they didn't do the best job they could have done. They could have done a lot better and chose not to, or for whatever reason they weren't. And so there are people that have a lot of work to do on the injury that they receive from their parents' hands.
Right.
And that is one of the things that can really spark the anger and keep the anger going.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of important work that may need to be done with parents. Now, one of the things that we find with parents in particular, especially when I grew up, is there really was no room for a child to be angry and display anger. You know, it was definitely discouraged. I was not taught how to deal with anger. I was just supposed to quit being angry.
Yeah, right.
And so I think a lot of people have grown up that way because, and I don't know how your parents did it, but
mm-hmm.
you may have experienced a similar kind of thing where you just were supposed to not be angry and not talk back. And they felt like any anger was talking back.
Yeah. You're supposed to behave yourself. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So there just is very little training that we get on how to be angry and how to deal with that feeling when it's in your body.
Yeah.
What do you do with it? We often get very little direction on that.
Yeah. My son is, he's almost 16 months, and he went on a walk with his dad the other day, and he was trying to go up somebody's steps of another house. And my husband said, no, you know, and took him off the steps, like, you can't climb those. And my son threw off his hat and threw himself to the ground and started crying and freaking out. And my husband was like, because it was this big dramatic tantrum. And he even threw off his hat. Like, he was so angry. But I mean, we've got to get real. Like, we're angry from day one. You know, we're naturally, we do have some natural anger, and that is okay. You know, it's a little alarming sometimes when
it certainly
you
is.
Don't expect
do
it.
You
but...
think your son was unhappy?
Yeah, he really wanted to climb those
yes,
steps.
He was.
Yeah, he was making it known. I mean, and he does that all the time. It's a new thing, but he's throwing himself to the ground in anger a lot lately. But yeah, and it also, just talking to you, I mean, it makes me think, like, am I telling him, no, don't be angry? I mean, he's going to be angry. That's okay. But it's a fine line. But we are definitely all angry. And people who say they're not angry are lying, because everybody is angry. But what we're covering is today is the anger that's controlling you, which for me was a big thing when I was stuck in my anxiety.
That's right. I would change the wording just a little bit there and say that everyone has anger. I don't think everyone is angry all the time.
Right.
But I think everyone has anger.
Yes.
It's one of the natural emotions that we have. If you're human and you're alive, you also have anger because you get... Now, we use all kinds of words. Well, I was unhappy. Mm-hmm. I was frustrated. I was... put out.
I was confused,
all kinds
even.
Of mm-hmm. Lesser words. So that we don't say the word anger, because the word anger somehow has taken on bad connotations. And I understand why it has taken on bad connotations.
Yeah, it can do some bad things, anger.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we all have anger, and we all need to find ways to deal with that anger. So that it doesn't go underground and come up as anxiety, which is one of the things that happens with us anxiety folks.
Right. And I think because we've talked about what kind of people get anxiety, we've talked about people who are the kind of people who somebody wants to hire, somebody who's honest, somebody who's usually very intelligent, somebody who gets the job done. So we've got that profile.
Very capable.
Very capable.
That's right.
And then... so we've got that person, and then we've got that person with anxiety, which anybody who knows, you know, who's had anxiety knows that the worst part about it is that a lot of times, I mean, before you learn your skills, I should say, you don't know why you can't unfeel what you're feeling. Everything else in your life is very, makes sense and maybe seems to be under your control. And then there's this thing that you just can't reason out of. And that can cause anger too. Is feeling like you've done things that used to make me angry. I feel like I'm a decent human being. I don't break the law. I'm not, you know, I'm not doing anything to hurt anybody, and I can't reason out of it. And that was very upsetting. And one thing that I've noticed, we were talking about the C word just a second ago with control. I've never seen such an angry society as I've seen now. I mean, and now we've mixed in the coronavirus to make it even that much more hectic, but we've got all kinds of opinions out there. And people, you know, I think with anxiety are prone to taking the weight of the world on themselves. So when you're watching all the political shows and the news, I think that can make you very angry. I think people are very angry. And I think sometimes, even if you're not angry, you find that you know 5 or 10 people who want you to be angry with them. And it's a tough time out there. It's tough in households. People have different opinions. And there's just a lot going on in the world that I think...
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
We have had a roughening of our whole society over these few years here.
Mm-hmm.
With the advent of talk television, and, you know, we talk about people putting a spin on things, and everybody has an opinion, and usually that opinion is offered at high volume and with aggressive language.
Yes.
You know, those kinds of things, because there's relative anonymity there. And so you kind of feel like, I can unleash this and I can say this, and so what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't realize is that some of those things really do strike home for sensitive people in particular and can be very hurtful. I end up not watching a lot of the news programs because I don't like it when they start, they're not discussing it anymore. They're screaming and yelling at each other, and even the moderator can't stop them sometimes.
Right.
So, I'm out.
Yeah, for sensitive people, I think it's kind of like, no thanks. And or it's something that's, you know, feeding into their anger. I think sensitive people sometimes feel very cause worthy, like they want, they have a cause, they want the better for some sort of cause, whether it's people or animals or whatever. And I think it's easy to get so wrapped up and feel like you can't control, again, there's a word, what the outcome is, because there's so many different factors happening. So I think that's certainly something to watch out for, as how much we've talked about.
And when
this.
You feel, when you feel deeply about an issue and you're passionate about that issue, and then you find yourself frustrated at being able to accomplish anything in that field or to get it to go the way you think it should go.
Yeah.
Then that's very frustrating. And people do get very frustrated and they get angry and hostile and they want you to do it their way, you know, and we're off to the races.
Right. Exactly. I do want to get into, because this is such interesting stuff, about for you to break down the way that our body reacts to anger. And I don't think many people will know this, so pay attention if you tuned us out for a second, because I want you to hear Dr. Barr. But anger is actually very similar to how your body reacts to anxiety. So when you feel that twinge of anger, when you feel that twinge of anxiety, there's things flaring up that your body signals are flaring up, I should say, that you might not be aware of. Can you touch on that a little bit?
I'd be happy to. Our bodies have what we call a central nervous system. And that central nervous system carries all of our feelings and all of our emotions and all of our reactions. It's the same system. Now we have two parts of that system. We have the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. All right, I won't bore you too much with that. So we have the sympathetic, which is the action part, mm-hmm. and we have the parasympathetic, which is the relaxation part, if you can think of it that way.
Okay.
Well, when we start feeling anxious, our sympathetic system, our action system, is going into high alert.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get super sensitive. I mean, we're already sensitive. Now we go into super sensitive. We start becoming aware that our hearts are beating faster. Mm-hmm. We're maybe sweating. We have increased breathing, or maybe even the feeling of difficulty breathing. It's scary, and we get a squirt of adrenaline, and from our adrenal glands, and we're off to the fight or flight reaction. So we're going to fight for our lives or run for our lives. Okay. So now enter anger. What happens when you get angry? Well, your heart rate goes up, your breathing increases, you're sweating, you may even find yourself having difficulty breathing, you may be having trouble putting two words together because you're so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm having a panic attack.
Yeah.
they are very, very similar in what they create inside your body.
Interesting.
It's very important for us in particular, and people in general, really. This is just good for anyone to start really trying to be aware of what the body signals are saying to you.
Hmm.
There are some subtle differences between anger and how your body reacts in anger and how your body reacts in anxiety and panic. It's difficult for me to tell you or tell any one of our listeners what it is that is going to be different for you. You really have to start paying attention and try to parse that out so that you can figure out, okay, what does my body do when I'm just getting anxious? And what does my body do when I'm getting angry?
Yeah.
Now, the difference may be that when you're getting angry, you find yourself clenching your fist. It's like, oh, I'm clenching my fist. I must be angry because I don't do that when I'm anxious. Now, in fact, maybe you find yourself doing that when you're anxious too, because if you've gotten that squirt of adrenaline, it fight or flight. So you may be preparing to fight, and so your fists may be clenched. So there's not necessarily one definitive thing. And yet, I think for each person, if they start examining carefully, they can start seeing the difference. Okay, what is different when I'm anxious and when I'm angry? First of all, you have to allow yourself to admit that you get angry.
Yeah.
You know, and say, okay, so I get angry. Well, that's uncomfortable. I'm not used to that.
Right.
But once you say, okay, well, okay, so I do get angry. I admit that I get angry. Well, if you then you can allow yourself to tune into your body and say, well, okay, what does happen when I'm angry?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? What does my body do? Because there are several similarities, but there may be several differences. And I want you to tune into those differences. Those differences can make a big difference.
And some of the things, the signals we can have are even more subtle, kind of like feeling heat or stiff in your neck, or there's all kinds of things you could look out for, right?
That's right.
It's really
right.
Kind of who knows what your thing is, but.
My chest gets tight,
mm-hmm.
or my shoulders, I find my shoulders hunched up around my ears. As I've gotten more and more angry, and you may find that there's a different set of thoughts that go with anger. So watch what your thinking is, you know, am I thinking bad thoughts about that person, or am I thinking bad thoughts about me, or am I thinking scary thoughts to myself? What's happening to me? I don't know what's going on. I'm afraid of losing control.
Yeah.
Now that's one of the things, I'd like to also get into is some of the things that have gone on in the past for people with anger is they may well have scared themselves. You know, yes, they learned as children maybe that they weren't supposed to be angry and they were taught not to show it. But somewhere along the line, they may have let their anger go and in fact maybe did something destructive,
mm-hmm.
or hurt someone. And found themselves feeling really, really guilty and feeling really scared about their anger. And they may make a vow to themselves that they'll never let that happen again.
Mm.
They'll never get back to that place where they let that feeling in.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because it was too scary.
Yeah. Or they hurt somebody.
Yes,
yeah.
It does.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And so, and we certainly see the evidence of anger and the destructive quality and the destructive power of anger.
Yeah.
All over the place. We see it in assaults on the street. We see it in road rage. We see it in the shootings that are going on around the country.
Mm-hmm.
We see the destructiveness of anger, and it can be, in fact, very destructive, and we don't want to participate in that kind of destruction.
Right.
So the feeling of being angry is not the thing that is the problem. It is, what are you going to do with that anger? And you don't want to let that anger get out of control, and I certainly understand that.
Yeah.
I scared myself with my anger early on when I was in my teenage years. And it took me a long time before I could allow myself to trust myself with anger again.
Hmm.
So I do know the power of that particular mechanism.
Yeah, you know,
I know that one personally.
Yeah, well, I think we kind of all do, right? I mean, it's interesting because I think about the people that I know, and I've kind of learned honestly, from people who are always really on and everything's always really good, that I guess it sends a little bit of a red flag for me. I don't mean to sound like I'm judging people or analyzing them all the time, but people who are sensationally just happy, I always kind of know that the other shoe can drop at any time, because I've found that some of those people, in my experience, have had the worst tempers. And I think it's that, like, that perpetual of, I have to be on. I think they learned at some point that anger was so bad that they work very hard to keep, like, a very positive front. But if you spend enough time with them, you kind of see that something goes kind of explosive at some point. That's happened to me with, I've seen that with quite a few people. And that's just, I just think that's kind of because we all have anger, and, you know, when we don't know what to do with it, this is kind of what happens, right? I mean, it's going to come out some way, somewhere. It's there. It's going to come out somewhere or another. It's like that's my son, when he throws off the hat, it's there, right? It's like, it's in him. It's, well, okay. I didn't teach him that.
That's right. And so you get to see anger in sort of its raw form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, so I am really mad and I really didn't like what Daddy did. And I don't know what to do with that other than to throw off my hat and sit down and kick the sidewalk or something.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at this kid having a temper tantrum is what we end up calling it. But it's sort of like, that's sort of anger in its raw form.
Well, we are going to close out there for part one of our episode on anger. Part two is coming up next week, and we're going to be discussing appropriate anger and appropriate ways to deal with anger, along with what a slush fund of anger is, and you can find out if you have one. So we're going to have all of that broken down for us with Dr. Barr next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, don't feel bad if you weren't able to get on board with us for the change program this time around. We're going to offer that option again pretty soon. We will let you know when, but in the meantime, you can check out our resources. Some of them are free at change.com. And if you want to get our free book, that's freefromfearsbook.com. Okay, I will talk to you next week. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope that something in today's conversation provided you with a feeling of hope, determination, or purpose. I know what you're going through, and that's why I want to give you some of the tools that helped me in my anxiety journey. To get a free copy of Free From Fears, head to freefromfearsbook.com. To find out more about the Change Anxiety Treatment Program, find us at changewith2as.com. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are on your way to living a life free of anxiety. See you next week. Before you go, I wanted to give you one last reminder to discover your anxiety profile at lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile. Going forward, we really think this should be the starting point for everyone's anxiety journey. Once you're done, you'll probably wonder how we could learn so much from just a few questions. It really is amazing. What you don't see is behind the scenes, your responses are compared to what we've learned from helping over 200,000 people just like you reverse their anxiety over the past 40 years. It's a data-backed assessment with real insights. I promise it's worth 90 seconds of your time, and it's totally free. Just click the link in the show notes or head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile, and I'll talk to you again soon.